4.
Home, home, home.
It was home I was wanting, and it was home I came to, brothers. I walked through the dark and followed not the town way, but the way where the shoom of a like farm machine had been coming from. This brought me to a sort of village I felt I'd visited before, but was perhaps because all villages looked the same, in the dark especially. Here were houses, and there was like a drinking mesto, and right at the end of the village there was a Malenki cottage on its oddy knocky, and I could vidi its name shining white on the gate. Home, it said. I was all dripping wet with this icy rain, so that my platties were no longer in the height of fashion, but real miserable and like pathetic, and my luscious glory was a wet, tangled, cally mess all spread over my gulliver, and I was sure there were cuts and bruises all over my litso, and a couple of my zoobies sort of joggled loose when I touched them with my tongue or yazzik. And I was sore all over my plot and very thirsty, so that I kept opening my rot to the cold rain, and my stomach growled grrr all the time, with not having had any pishka since morning, and then not very much, oh my brothers. Home, it said. And perhaps here would be some vec to help. I opened the gate and sort of slithered down the path, the rain like turning to ice, and then I knocked gentle and pathetic on the door. No vec came, so I knocked a Malenki bit longer and louder, and then I heard the shoom of nogas coming to the door. Then the door opened, and a male galos said, "Yes, what is it?"
"Oh," I said, "please help. I've been beaten up by the police and just left to die on the road. Oh, please give me a drink of something and a sit by the fire, please, sir."
The door opened full then, and I could vidi like warm light and a fire going crackle, crackle within. "Come in," said this vec, "whoever you are. God help you, you poor victim. Come in and let's have a look at you." So I like staggered in, and it was no big act I was putting on, brothers. I really felt done and finished. This kind vec put his rookers round my plechos and pulled me into this room where the fire was, and of course I knew right away now where it was and why home on the gate looked so familiar. I looked at this vec, and he looked at me in a kind sort of way, and I remembered him well now. Of course, he would not remember me, for in those carefree days, I and my so-called droogs did all our bolshy dratzing and fillying and crasting in maskies, which were real horror show disguises. He was a shortish vec, in middle age, 30, 40, 50, and he had hotchkeys on. "Sit down by the fire," he said, "and I'll get you some whiskey and warm water." "Dear, dear, dear, somebody has been beating you up." And he gave a, like, tender look at my gulliver and litso. "The police," I said, "the horrible, ghastly police." "Another victim," he said, light sighing. "A victim of the modern age. I'll go and get you that whiskey, and then I must clean up your wounds a little." And off he went. I had a look round this Malenki comfortable room. It was nearly all books now, and a fire, and a couple of chairs, and you could vidi somehow that there wasn't a woman living there. On the table was a typewriter and a lot of, like, tumbled papers, and I remembered that this vec was a writer vec. A Clockwork Orange. That had been it. It was funny that that stuck in my mind. I must not let on, though, for I needed help and kindness now. Those horrible Grasny Brechnys in that terrible white mesto had done that to me, making me need help and kindness now and forcing me to want to give help and kindness myself if anybody would take it. "Here we are, then," said this vec, returning. He gave me this hot, stimulating glassful to Pete, and it made me feel better. And then he cleaned up these cuts on my litso. Then he said, "You have a nice hot bath. I'll draw it for you. And then you can tell me all about it over a nice hot supper, which I'll get ready while you're having the bath." Oh, my brothers, I could have wept at his kindness, and I think he must have vidded the old tears in my glazies, for he said, "There, there, there," patting me on the plecho. Anyway, I went up and had this hot bath, and he brought in pyjamas and an overgown for me to put on, all warmed by the fire, also a very worn pair of twofles. And now, brothers, though I was aching and full of pains all over, I felt I would soon feel a lot better. I itted downstairs and vidded that in the kitchen he had set the table with knives and forks and a big fine loaf of kleb, also a bottle of prima sauce. And soon he served out a nice fry of eggy wegs and lomtics of ham and bursting sausages and big bolshy mugs of hot, sweet, milky chai. It was nice sitting there in the warm, eating, and I found that I was very hungry, so that after the fry I had to eat lomtic after lomtic of kleb and butter spread with strawberry jam out of a bolshy great pot. "A lot better," I said. "How can I ever repay?" "I think I know who you are," he said. "If you are who I think you are, then you've come, my friend, to the right place. Wasn't that your picture in the papers this morning? Are you the poor victim of this horrible new technique? If so, then you have been sent here by Providence, tortured in prison, then thrown out to be tortured by the police. My heart goes out to you, poor, poor boy." Brothers, I could not get a Slovo in, though I had my rot wide open to answer his questions. "You are not the first to come here in distress," he said. "The police are fond of bringing their victims to the outskirts of this village, but it is providential that you, who are also another kind of victim, should come here. Perhaps, then, you have heard of me?" I had to be very careful, brothers. I said, "I have heard of A Clockwork Orange. I've not read it, but I have heard of it." "Ah," he said, and his litzo shone like the sun in its flaming morning glory. "Now, tell me about yourself." "Little enough to tell, sir," I said, all humble. "There was a foolish and boyish prank, my so-called friends persuading, or rather forcing me, to break into the house of an old petitza lady, I mean. There was no real harm meant. Unfortunately, the lady strained her good old heart in trying to throw me out, though I was quite ready to go of my own accord, and then she died. I was accused of being the cause of her death, so I was sent to prison, sir."
"Yes, yes, yes, go on."
"Then I was picked out by the Minister of the Inferior, or Interior, to have this Ludovico's vest tried out on me."
"Tell me all about it," he said, leaning forward, eager, his pullover elbows with all strawberry jam on them from the plate I'd pushed to one side. So I told him all about it. I told him the lot, all my brothers. He was very eager to hear, all his glazies light shining and his goobers apart, while the grease on the plates grew harder, harder, harder. When I had finished, he got up from the table, nodding a lot and going, "Hmm, hmm, hmm," picking up the plates and other veshes from the table and taking them to the sink for washing up. I said, "I will do that, sir, and gladly." "Rest, rest, poor lad," he said, turning the tap on so that all steam came burping out. "You've sinned, I suppose, but your punishment has been out of all proportion. They have turned you into something other than a human being. You have no power of choice any longer. You are committed to socially acceptable act, a little machine capable only of good. And I see that clearly, that business about the marginal conditionings, music and the sexual act, literature and art, all must be a source now not of pleasure but of pain." "That's right, sir," I said, smoking one of this kind man's cork-tipped cancers. "They always bite off too much," he said, drying a plate, like, absent-mindedly. "But the essential intention is the real sin. A man who cannot choose ceases to be a man." "That's what the Charles said, sir," I said. "The prison chaplain, I mean." "Did he?
Did he?
Of course he did.
He'd have to, wouldn't he, being a Christian? Well, now then, he said, still wiping the same plate he'd been wiping 10 minutes ago, we shall have a few people in to see you tomorrow. I think you can be used, poor boy. I think that you can help dislodge this overbearing government. To turn a decent young man into a piece of clockwork should not, surely, be seen as any triumph for any government save one that boasts of its repressiveness. He was still wiping this same plate. I said, sir, you're still wiping that same plate. I agree with you, sir, about boasting. This government seems to be very boastful. Oh, he said, like vidying this plate for the first time and then putting it down. I'm still not too handy, he said, with domestic chores. My wife used to do them all and leave me to my writing. Your wife, sir? I said. Has she gone and left you? I really wanted to know about his wife, remembering very well. Yes, left me, he said, in a like loud and bitter gloss. She died, you see. She was brutally raped and beaten. The shock was very great. It was in this house. His rookers were trembling, holding a wiping-up cloth, in that room next door. I have had to steel myself to continue to live here, but she would have wished me to stay where her fragrant memory still lingers. Yes, yes, yes. Poor little girl. I vidded all clearly, my brothers, what had happened that far-off notchy, and vidding myself on that job, I began to feel I wanted to sick, and the pain started up in my gulliver. This Vec vidded this, because my Litzo felt it was all drained of red, red crovy, very pale, and he would be able to vidy this. You go to bed now, he said kindly. I've got the spare room ready. Poor, poor boy. You must have had a terrible time. A victim of the modern age, just as she was. Poor, poor, poor girl.